Your dad was John McCain.
Yes. My dad was a huge music fan. I'm going to tell you right now, my dad loved Willie Nelson. And people are like, you can't say he liked Willie Nelson because he dodged his taxes, blah, blah, blah. Well, he loved Willie Nelson. He did.
Everybody thinks they can do it. How can I become a professional wrestler? You really can't.
I pulled out the gun and I shot two times.
We have a complicated family. We were all raised to argue with each other with intensity, with passion, but also to love each other.
This is WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome to WTMJ Conversations. I'm your host, Libby Collins. Andrea Belke grew up on a farm in Random Lake, but the skills she learned as a kid came in handy when at the age of 21, she became a contestant on TV's Survivor. Her personality, her looks, and her gameplay led her to two more times on the island, where she lasted a total of 103 days and won multiple individual immunities. And since then, she's appeared on numerous TV shows, commercials, she's done a few movies, she's worked for People magazine, and she now hosts Discover Wisconsin on television, as well as the Discover Wisconsin podcast. Plus, she is hosting a watch party on Wednesday night for the 50th season finale of the CBS powerhouse TV show Survivor. Andrea, it's such a great opportunity to meet you. I watched you on all three seasons.
Oh, wow. And you remember me?
I sure do. You look exactly like you looked on TV.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Yeah, you have been identified with Survivor for almost half your life.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, my first season was 15 years ago. So when I hear you say the intro and you talk about how I did Survivor at 21 years old and I just turned 37. So that's wild to me. It doesn't actually seem real because, you know, at 21 years old, I was still in college when I filmed it and it was a different person. It's very trippy when I have people come up to me and say they watched me on my early seasons of Survivor and it was just so long ago. It feels like a totally different version of me.
Yeah, your mom and dad tried out for Survivor.
Mm-hmm. They were the reason I applied in the first place. So
when did they try out?
So before I played, growing up, we were always watching Survivor. It was a family tradition. Like many people, it was the one show we all watched together. And my dad and mom had both applied to be on the show. And they never got a call or anything. But they only applied one time. You never know. And I was in college. I was a theater student at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. And I remember there was this one semester I didn't get the play I wanted to get. And I was feeling really discouraged from not getting into the plays and musicals that I wanted to be in at school. And my mom said, why don't you apply for Survivor? And I thought, Mom, that has nothing to do with my career and what I want to do. I like the show, but there's no way they watch the tapes. And just on a whim and to appease my mom, I made an audition tape. Basically, one take, you know, my sister filmed it on one of the old camcorders of me on my horse and catching a pig on the farm, petting a deer head. We leaned so hard into the farm girl Wisconsin vibe and only sent in one tape. And I got a call a couple weeks later, thought it was a joke, and they wanted to audition me. And the rest is kind of history.
What's the audition like?
So you send in a tape. Back then, we actually mailed the DVD in, which now is unheard of. Now you just apply online. But basically, you send in a couple-minute video, and you get a call. They'll maybe do a phone interview. Now, back when I was on the show, they actually flew you out to Los Angeles, and they interviewed you for about a week there. I don't know if it's changed. It might all be digital now. It might all be on Zooms. I'm not actually sure if they physically go somewhere now. But basically, yeah, they flew me out to L.A. They put me up in a hotel for a week. You could go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you would see other hopeful contestants, but you couldn't talk to them. So a lot of giving glances and, you know, wondering, oh, I wonder if I'm on the island with this person. And as the week would go on, you'd see less and less people. So I remember I was out there. I would see about 20 people. I thought, oh, this is going to be the cast. And then by the last day, there was only a couple people left. And then didn't hear from them, didn't hear from CBS for months. And then they called me and they said, do you want to be on the next season of Survivor? So crazy.
What kind of questions do they ask you in the audition?
So they'll ask you, why you? Why could you win Survivor? What is special about you? How are you going to play? What past contestants are you going to play like? Tell us a time where you did anything to win. Are you a villain? Are you a hero? How have you manipulated your way to get things in life? So you kind of tap into a different version of yourself. In real life, I'm not a liar. I really am not. despite what some of my exes probably say. But no, I do pride myself in being a really honest person, and I'm not very manipulative. I don't like doing that. I have a really guilty conscience. But on Survivor, it is this game where you're allowed to tap into those sides of you. So for the auditions to get yourself on the show, I always tell people, no one's going to see these. You got to go big or go home. You got to embellish a little bit. So they would ask me questions.
What embellishments did you tell?
I think I would just say, you know, I'm so competitive. I would do anything. When I don't get my way, you'll know it. You just kind of go a little bit above and beyond. When I was on the show, my first season, they really wanted the young people, especially the girls, they wanted them to be single. And so I, hopefully he's not listening. It's been so long since then, but I had a boyfriend my first season. But they told me, if you have a boyfriend, you're in a relationship, they probably won't cast you on the show. So I basically had to lie and say I was single to get on the show because they just wanted the option of a showman's. They wanted to know that there could be a little flirty thing going on. And then there was a little flirty thing going on. But the problem was for a lot of these showmances is I didn't know enough at the time. But even if you are talking to a guy, right, and maybe you're not interested, but they would ask you, the producer would ask you a question of, oh, do you think Matt's cute? And if you answered, yeah, Matt's super cute, but I have a boyfriend, so it's not really going anywhere. All they need to create a storyline is, yeah, Matt's cute, cut. And then show someone else talking about how you and Matt have been flirting. So on my first season, even though I wasn't unfaithful to my boyfriend at the time, they made it look like I had this flirty thing with this guy, Matt, and it became a huge storyline. So back then, they were very much like they wanted the people to be single and like a potential of a flirty thing. Now, I don't think they care about that as much. It's shifted a lot. But yeah, that would be an embellishment.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
You'll be looking for idols for hours and you'll never find anything, but it's because it was already found on day one or two.
Survivor's Andrea Belke tells us, how difficult is it to find an idol?
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back. I'm Libby Collins. We're talking with Andrea Belke, who grew up in Random Lake, but has spent three different seasons as a contestant on Survivor. When they first drop you off, you know, you always see these boats coming in with all the contestants and nobody's speaking to each other. Is that really the way it is?
So I'll give you the inside scoop, and I don't think I'm under any sort of contract anymore, but for the most part, and I've done other shows too, but Survivor is very real with a few caveats. So it's super unnatural to have cameras in your face, right? So when you get to the island, all of a sudden there's these cameras in your faces and you kind of feel weird at first. But then you realize, okay, if I don't make a shelter, I have nowhere to sleep. If I don't build a fire, I can't boil the water and I also can't find anything to eat. So you kind of forget the cameras are there. But for the most part, they let you play and you just are existing with cameras filming you. Now, I've never on Survivor once had any producer go, hey, could you say that line again? Hey, can you guys just talk about what's going to happen at Tribal Council? They basically are just kind of a fly on the wall filming you. And after a day or two, you honestly forget they're there. Now, there are some things that take you out of the game. When you go to Tribal Council or a challenge, usually they have you walk out and then you go back and you film another one with the drone. Back then it was the helicopter, but this time now they have a drone. But then you go into lockdown. So lockdown means you can't talk. Then they put you on a boat.
You can't talk to anybody.
Yeah. So once you're on lockdown, that means it's time to transport everybody to the challenge. So then you get on the boats and because they're not filming you, you can't talk to anybody. So it's basically like a freeze in the game. They put you on the boat. Then you are on the boat for, I don't know, an hour. And then you boat to the challenge. And then you get out of the boat and you go into a tent. And you're still on lockdown. And you're sitting in the tent for probably an hour. And then you do a medical check. And then you get mic'd up. And then you finally get to do the challenge. So on days that there's a challenge, it takes hours. And a lot of times you're just sitting there and you can't say anything. Because they don't want to miss any strategy. So that part is actually so difficult.
Now, what about the diary part, though, where you see the contestants alone, away from the game, and they're talking about things? Is that with a producer?
Yeah. So probably once a day, if it's a busy day, maybe twice a day. And then sometimes maybe they'll skip a day if not much has happened. They'll pull you. So a producer, you'll be at camp talking with everyone. A producer will go, Andrea, and they'll say, I think they still do this on the show, but they'll say, time for a walk. Andrea, can you take a walk? And so when you're on the show, you always, when you're talking amongst people, you say, oh, where's Natalie? And then someone will say, oh, she's on a walk. So then just in case it's something used in the show, that's the code for she's on an interview. So someone will say, Andrea, can you take a walk? So you'll follow them, and then there'll be a camera crew set up with nice lighting and a nice background. And then they'll interview you about everything that happened that day or maybe the last 2 days if they have to catch up. And those interviews will take hours. And the interviews are shockingly difficult because you are so hungry and sleep deprived, and you have to try to get the energy to be excited about what happened the last couple days. That was always hard for me because at that point, I'm just like, I want to move on and I'm so tired. I don't want to talk to camera, but that's where you have to try to bring the gold, you know?
Is that a problem, though, when you're brought out of the game for hours for one of these diary interviews and everybody else is back at camp and the game is going on?
Absolutely. It's really frustrating, actually. But there's no way around it because as a show, they have to get you doing all those two cameras because half the show is confessionals. So that was what was always really frustrating is if anybody has watched my seasons, basically that happened to me on my second season because I knew what the plan was and everyone was hanging out at camp the whole time. So no one was out of my eyesight. But when I had to go do one of my interviews, that's when everyone can say, all right, the real plan is Andrea. So that's what's really frustrating. But that's just, unfortunately, the part of the game you can't avoid.
But the producers knew that was going on.
Yeah, but they have to pull you for an interview. But yeah, it's really frustrating. And many Survivor players are probably super upset that they have to go to an interview at the high point of strategizing. Because you know, when you're gone, they could easily say, all right, let's actually take out this person.
How difficult is it to find an idol? Because they show some of the things and it looks like, you know, somebody just, oh, it's right here. It's in the street. Is it that apparent? Is it really difficult to find one of those?
Well, the only time I found an idol was I won a clue at a challenge, and then I was helped by another tribe member to find the idol. So it's a little different, but I think it's hard because I never just found an idol walking around. But I do think they're just in a little nook in a tree. I think they're as easy as they look on TV. It's just a matter of, are you looking? Did you happen to walk by it or not? And I think a lot of times when, this is my guess though, I think when people find the idol, it is very quick and then it's early on. And so that's why you'll be looking for idols for hours and you'll never find anything. But it's because it was already found on day one or two.
But they don't tell you that.
No, they don't tell you. If they're smart. If they're smart, they don't tell you. But as the seasons go on, more and more people just spill the beans on everything.
Yeah. How has it changed since you were on? Because, again, it was 15 years ago. That was kind of in the early days of Idol. And wasn't the first season you were on, that was the first time we saw Boston Rob, who now has really become a Survivor star.
Yeah. Well, my first season, it was Boston Rob versus Russell Hantz.
Oh, that's right.
So I've never been on a season. I never got to do a season with all new people. There's always returners. So, yeah, I mean, Survivor's changed so much. I think if you talk to a lot of Survivor fans, they do miss the old days when you just kind of let people play a little more. And I don't think that me saying that is a hot take. I think a lot of Survivor fans like that because you want to see the social game of all these alliances. But now the game, there's so many twists. I don't even know if I could keep up with all the journeys and the twists and the Billie Eilish boomerang idols. So I definitely always long for the older seasons where you just saw people play and you saw the social dynamics. But, you know, it's also still such a great show. You just have to adapt more.
You've played, though, with a lot of people who are in this season. Mm-hmm. Ceri, who was just voted out.
Yeah.
Ozzy, who was voted out about a week ago. Anybody else in this season that you've played with in the past?
Aubrey.
Oh, and she's still in.
Yeah, so Aubrey, Ozzy, and Ceri were all in my third season, Game Changers, and I was working with all three of them. So when I saw that they were all on, I was really excited for them. I do think that's probably a big reason I wasn't asked back as well, because I got an initial call for season 50. I'm sure 100 people did, but once I saw that Ceri, Ozzy, and Aubrey were on, I'm like, oh, I probably never stood a chance because they're not going to have four people from one season. Three's already too much from one season. So, yeah, I was rooting for Ceri and Ozzy, and I'm still rooting for Aubrey.
So you did have a call, though.
And yeah,
what was
I did.
That conversation like?
It was just a very preliminary, hey, as soon as I see that call, I go, oh my gosh, is this really happening? Because that's the only time they call you. They're not checking in with you. They're calling you if they're interested in an upcoming season. And I was actually really surprised to get that call. It's just, it's been such a long time. And there's so many players. I mean, there's probably over 700 players now, closer to 800. So I was shocked to get it, but I was flattered. But it was just an initial call of, hey, just so you know, I mean, you already know that season 50 is coming up. We're just putting feelers out. Would you be interested? And I think there were some years where I would probably say no, but I felt pretty good to say yes this time, and then I didn't get another call.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I think a lot of Survivor players and fans agree. I just want to see them play.
Survivor's Andrea Bilkey gives us her thoughts on the 50th season.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
I'm your host, Libby Collins. Let's return to our conversation with Andrea Bilkey, who appeared three times on Survivor. It's been like 10 years since you last competed.
10 years, yeah.
You were in your early 20s when you competed all three times. Physically, you were probably in the best shape of your life at that time. Certainly had more energy than you do now.
Yeah.
Would it be easier or more difficult to go back in your late 30s versus your early 20s?
So much harder, because a few things have changed. When I was in my early 20s, I was bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, not jaded. I was just happy to be there. I think it's different having played. If I would play now, there's just so much pressure of, what, am I going to play a fourth time and lose? So I think I would be really hard on myself, and I think I would really want it, and I think it would be really hard to lose again. And then other things that you don't really think of when you're in your early 20s, I think the biggest thing would be sleep. When I was younger, I could sleep anywhere. When you're a college kid, you could sleep on any couch with any number of people. You could sleep on a floor. You could sleep in a car. Now I have so many issues sleeping. I have to have an eye mask, maybe even some AirPods playing some white noise. I have to make sure not a sliver of light is coming through, and I can't hear a pin drop or I'm up. So I feel like the sleep would be really hard. Sometimes I think, oh, it would have been nice to start my Survivor journey in my 30s. Because now I'm a fully formed version of myself. When you're in your 20s, it's before your prefrontal cortex is even developed. I don't even think I had a sense of humor. I think I was just a bubbly girl. And I don't want to be too hard on myself. I know a lot of people enjoyed watching me, but I feel like this version of myself is a much wiser, much funnier, much more stable version. So I would want to be back on TV in my 30s. But I also think if I played now for the first time, I don't think I would have come back as many times, because now there's just not as many returnee seasons. There's so many people in the last 10 seasons that should have gotten another chance to play, but they just haven't.
Any idea why that's happening that way?
I don't know. Jeff Probst is the executive producer now, so I just think he doesn't like returnee seasons as much, or maybe didn't. So from season 40 to 50, there just really haven't been any. Yeah, I just think that for some reason they've been straying away from returnee seasons, which, as a viewer, I like returnee seasons.
Have you watched this whole season?
Yep.
Are you happy with the way it's moved? You mentioned that Billie Eilish idol. And then there was the Jimmy Fallon thing. Mm-hmm. And then there was that concert that took up half of a show that it was like, well, we're Survivor. What do you think about all that?
I don't love it. But I want to keep things a little positive, because obviously there is still a huge fan base and we all love Survivor no matter what. I just don't think Survivor needs the amount of twists that it has. I don't like the Billie Eilish boomerang idol. Also, there was an interview that Billie Eilish did recently where she was asked about it and she was kind of rolling her eyes going, yeah, I guess there's this Billie Eilish boomerang idol. It was very clear she had nothing really to do with it. It was a PR thing. I just don't think Survivor needs all these things. And I don't think I'm alone in saying that. I also am not afraid, you know, obviously if this would go viral and Jeff would see this, I would never be asked back on the show probably. That's the risk we take. But I think a lot of Survivor players and fans agree. I just want to see them play. I don't like all the journeys. I don't like all these massive twists. But because I'm still choosing to watch the show, I have to just accept that that's where we're at. And I still can enjoy it. I have enjoyed the strategy. I have enjoyed the social game. I just don't think we need all the twists.
So there's five players left. Mm-hmm. There's Joe, Jonathan, Rizzo, Tiffany, and Aubrey, who you played with.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen on Wednesday night? Because they've got to get it down to three. And then, of course, they're going to have the actual winner of not one, but $2 million. Mm-hmm. What's your read of it right now?
Well, I read a lot into the edit. And I felt like, because I'm friends with Aubrey at first, it wasn't looking good for her. And now they're starting to show a lot of Aubrey and her thinking about the end game, which makes me think that maybe she does go very far. Tiff seems like a huge threat right now, and people have already put her name out there. So if she doesn't win immunity, she could be in trouble. I know people have their thoughts on Rizzo. I love Riz God. I just get a kick out of him. He's great. I think also Jonathan's made a lot of really good moves. I would say out of that five, the only person I don't see winning, and this is me just guessing, I'm not spoiled, but I'm not sure about the case for Joe. It seems like everyone's been annoyed with playing with him, and maybe he doesn't have the best read of what's going on. So I don't know.
But he seems like such a nice guy.
Oh, yes,
he?
Great yeah. guy. You know, sometimes you look at the people playing, and you can simultaneously be a great person and also not the best on Survivor in this game. I think in a different season, maybe he would have the respect of the jury. But it just seems like we've heard so many people say that they're babysitting Joe and that they can't play with him and he's frustrating to play with. So it's not to say that Joe couldn't play on a different season and totally win. I'm just going based off of what people are saying. I don't know if he has it, but I could see any one of the other people winning.
You mentioned the edit. In any of your seasons, did you see edits once you went back home and you watched the show that you thought, that's not how that person really was?
Yeah, I think that's a big wake-up call for every Survivor player. It's similar to how everyone moves through life, right? We're all kind of our own main character, at least most people. Some people maybe are walking through life as a side character, but I think most people walk through life as main character, right? It's the only way we can see the world. So when you go on Survivor, I think most people feel this way. They go, oh my gosh, they're going to show when I did this. They're going to show my alliance with these people and these people. They're going to show how that was my move. And you're so excited for everyone to see the game you played. And then you watch the show. And maybe you don't even have a line in the first episode. And maybe they don't give you the credit for that move. It went to someone else. And all of a sudden, you feel like, wait, do I even have an idea of what went on out there? Because the reality is, you could have a big move, but depending on how they want to edit it, all they need is one soundbite from the winner to say, yeah, I think this time Andrea should go out. And even if it wasn't their actual plan, they can just have the winner saying that, and then it looks like it was their move. So there were several times where I thought, oh man, people are going to show me run in this game. And then I didn't get any screen time. And it's a very humbling experience. But I've been so lucky with the edit because, you know, I'm a pretty happy person. But when you're starving and you're with all these really wild personalities and you're trying to win $1 million, you know, you can see many versions of me. There's a happy, friendly Andrea. There could be the crabby Andrea, the sleep deprived Andrea. Like, I could be mean, you know, like, it's true. I know everyone thinks, how could Andrea be mean? But we all have all these different personalities within us. So when you get off the show, you're like, oh my gosh, what are they going to show? Are they going to show the time I flipped out on that person? They're going to show me being mean. I've been really lucky where they've always gave me a pretty pleasant edit. And even on my third season, I felt like they were giving me credit for moves where I didn't even think that was my move. So I love the Survivor editors. I will always be rooting for them.
Still ahead on WTMJ Conversations.
I do see other people that want to be on Survivor so badly, and then they get on the show, and then it kind of ruins the show for them. You think you're going to go and win. Instead, you get blindsided, and it's really embarrassing. Some people really struggle with that. They have nightmares.
Andrea Belke gives us insight on the psychological impact of Survivor.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
And I'm Libby Collins. Our guest today is Andrea Belke, who grew up in Random Lake, but has spent three different seasons as a contestant on television's Survivor. We mentioned this season's different.
Yeah.
One of the criticisms I've seen online is everybody looks so good. They don't look like they've been out in the jungle for now, what, 20-some days.
Mm-hmm.
Do they help at all as far as making you look a little bit better? You mentioned about, you know, when you're getting ready for a challenge, you're sitting in a tent for an hour. Other times where you're, you know, sitting and waiting for shots. Do they do your hair? Touch up some lipstick or?
No. You don't even have a mirror out there. On Survivor, you have no idea what you look like until you're off. What I will say is I always felt like I looked better on the island than I do in real life because I got really tan. My hair got that ocean volume. Your teeth look extra white because you're tan. So I always felt like I looked great on the island. And then it was always hard to live up to that in real life because you're also, you know, you're just, your jawline gets snatched. You lose a couple pounds. I mean, it's just everyone looks so good out there. year. But I think this year I was looking at some people. I see some fake eyelashes, some whitened teeth. But
maybe a few extensions.
Yeah, some extensions. Yeah. So yeah. I think, you know, whatever people can get away with. I know when I went out there, I would get my eyelashes tinted. And maybe I got my eyebrows tinted or something. You get waxed and stuff, you know, armpits and legs. But when I was playing, it was 39 days.
That's the other part. Because now it's, what, 24, 25? It doesn't seem like it's as long as it used to be. Is that fair? I mean, somebody like you that were out, and with the people you played with, that were out there for well over a month, and now they're there for, what, 3 weeks? Maybe 3.5 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, they say they get less food now, but we didn't.
But they don't have to boil water.
No, they don't have to boil water. And I don't know. I guess I just think it's probably not as hard. But once CBS realized they could do a show as good for a lot less money, because if you think about the difference of that day, like those days of how much you pay the crew each day, they're probably saving millions of dollars.
Well, don't they have now just a stationary island mm-hmm. where they do it? Whereas back when you played, it was a different location every time, which was kind of interesting, and it changed a lot of the competitions because they weren't like reusing the same props.
Oh yeah, it's the same beach. And when I watched season 50, I go, oh, I was on that beach 10 years ago. So yeah, there are a lot of things I wish that we'd go back to, but I feel like the fact that Survivor's still even going at this point is kind of amazing. And I'm sure they have a great deal with Fiji and they can still make a great show.
You mentioned Jeff Probst, and he, of course, is the face of Survivor mm-hmm. and has been since the very first day. What's he like in person?
He's great. I mean, he is the best host I think that exists out there, because I'm a TV host as well. And when I watch him, and when I was on my third season, I was starting to do a lot of TV hosting. I was working for People magazine at that point, and then I was starting to work for Good Morning America. Watching him work is just a masterclass in TV hosting. He never messes up. He doesn't use an ear prompt. He is so good.
Everything, there's no ear prompt?
No. Everything is live. It's incredible. He is so good. And then working with him, I've interviewed him a few times for People magazine, and he's just such a professional. He is, you know, has the best personality. I think sometimes people think, oh yeah, Jeff and I, we would just go and, you know, grab a beer or something. He's a little, you know, he's kind of all business. It's like you get a tiny bit with him and then he's gone. But every time I've had an interaction with him, it's been very positive.
And during the game, I would imagine there's not real interaction other than when you're on camera.
Not really. Yeah. I think he has to, you know, he can't be friends with 750 Survivor contestants.
What about that community? In the realm of things, over 26 years, 750 people, it's not that many. Is it like a sorority or a fraternity?
Yeah, it is very much like a family. If you needed me to get a hold of anyone in the Survivor community, I could do it. You have access to everyone that's played Survivor, except for maybe some of the old school people like Sue Hawk. She's from Wisconsin. I cannot get a hold of her. I've been trying. If you have a hookup to Sue Hawk, let me know, because I want her to come to my watch parties. But basically, it's this family. When you go out and do Survivor and you come back, there is a lot of difficulty with people understanding what you went through. And so sometimes it's hard to explain to a friend, no, this was so hard and honestly feels a little traumatic that I got blindsided by these people and now I have trust issues. And if you explain that to someone that's never played, it might be kind of hard for them to understand it because it's such a crazy experience. But if you talk to the person that you were in the game with, they get it. And so you have these bonds. Honestly, it feels like trauma bonds with the people you played with. And I think going and playing Survivor, being in that community, there's pros and cons. I've had a mostly positive experience with some lows. And I do see other people that really struggle. I mean, they want to be on Survivor so badly, and then they get on the show, and then it kind of ruins the show for them, and they have a hard time with it. Because imagine, you go on the show, it's been your lifelong dream to get on the show. You think you're going to go and win. Instead, you get blindsided, and it's really embarrassing, or you get made fun of online for months and months while it's airing, and then all you want to do is play again, but you never get a call. I mean, some people really struggle with that. They have nightmares. I mean, they're just thinking of, if I only would have played my idol. Think about Ozzy.
Could you believe he went home with another idol?
I mean, as someone that has gone home with an idol, I totally get it. It's very easy to go home with an idol. What's crazy is as soon as you start feeling comfortable and you're not paranoid, that's when you should play your idol. Because that's when I went home with an idol, I felt 100% safe. If you ever feel 100% safe, it's time for you to play the idol.
Something to remember if I'm ever on Survivor. Yes. Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I never went to therapy. No one ever made me go to counseling. And I shoved that down so far.
Andrea Belke shares a loss she suffered at a young age and how it's affected her mental health.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back to our conversation with Survivor's Andrea Belke. But you're back in Wisconsin now.
Yeah, and I love it. I was in New York for so long, and I really missed my family. And I also was kind of struggling. I think being so far from home and not really dealing with some of the, I would say, the mental issues of moving away. I was kind of struggling with a little bit of depression, too. So there was a mental health element.
What were you depressed about?
In a nutshell, and this is not to get too deep, but when I was younger, I was in a really bad accident with my sister who passed away. And I never got help for it. So at 15, I lost my sister. We were the only ones in this accident. It was horrible. I never went to therapy. No one ever made me go to counseling. And I shoved that down so far that I just went to high school maybe a week later after this accident, as if nothing happened. And I didn't lose my best friend in the entire world. And I went on with my life and just distracted from the healing of it. And so I never properly grieved my sister. And it bubbled up into a lot of mental health issues way later. And I dealt with some dependency on alcohol and some anxiety and some self-harm and some depression. And so in my late 20s, I started getting really depressed and I couldn't figure out why, because everything was so amazing. I'm working a great job. I'm interviewing celebrities. I've done Survivor 3 times. Financially, I'm great. I have the best family and friends in the world. Everything's amazing. Why am I so depressed and I don't want to be here? And that was really hard. And it took years for me to realize it's because I never dealt with the trauma that I endured when I was a lot younger. And it was really hard to peel back those layers and dig back into that. And it's also hard when you're living the life in New York City and partying and like kind of just numbing myself with alcohol. So when I moved back to Wisconsin in 2020 because of COVID, I was starting to have to face the fact that I wasn't happy. And it took years and finally going to therapy and working on all this stuff for me to realize, oh, I've been depressed for quite a long time. And I don't think I can figure this out in New York. And maybe it's time for me to figure this out finally after so many years. So that's what I did. And it did take years to work through. But I would say now I'm 37. I just turned 37. I think starting at around 32, 33 is when I turned my life around. And it honestly feels like I just started my life a few years ago. And now I'm so happy. There's always going to be a little bit of the ups and downs, but I feel like finally facing the issues and working through it, even though that's painful, it finally got me to a place where I'm so happy to be here day to day. And that wasn't my reality for so many years.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I don't know if I can say this.
Survivor's Andrea Belke reveals if she'd ever appear on another reality show.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
I'm Libby Collins. Today's conversation is with Andrea Belke, who appeared in 3 different seasons of television's Survivor. Now you're discovering Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What are you learning about Wisconsin that you didn't know?
Well, I know everything about Wisconsin, Libby. I am an expert. So yeah, so when I moved back, I kind of, when I was trying to deal with, you know, what's my life going to look like? Am I not moving back to New York? I basically quit my job at People. It was all just online at that point. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was like, I don't have the connections here in Wisconsin. I started working on the farm. I was on my hands and knees scrubbing like rat poop off of this little room because my dad had me do that. And I remember thinking, how the mighty have fallen. I used to interview Robert De Niro at the Emmys. Like, what am I doing? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? I don't have connections in Wisconsin. And then I got a couple opportunities, one with the Morning Blend here in Milwaukee, and then one with Discover Wisconsin through someone I went to college with. And so that's just turned into this huge gift because now I get to see Wisconsin through what feels like new eyes. You know, I grew up here, but then I was gone for so long. So now I get to travel all over the state. I get to check out all the different parks and the different like hidden gems and small towns. So it's been just an absolute dream learning about the history of Wisconsin. So it's been great.
One last question. Is there any other reality show that you would want to be on than Survivor? Anything out there right now?
That's a really good question. I will leave you with this. I don't know if I can say this. There is a possibility you would see me on a reality show in the next year.
Well, we'll leave it at that. I can't wait. Andrea Belke, thanks for spending time with us today.
All right. Thanks for having
me. We've been talking with Random Lakes, Andrea Belke. The age of 21, she ended up on the TV show Survivor and was invited back two different times. Right now, she's back in Milwaukee, and as a matter of fact, Wednesday night, you can come and meet her because she's hosting a watch party for the 50th finale of that CBS powerhouse TV show, Survivor, at Tom's Watch Bar and Drink Wisconsinably Pub. Now, if you joined us late and you want to hear our entire conversation with Andrea, go to WTMJ.com and share today's show with your friends and family. You'll also find a partial transcript courtesy of eCourt Reporters. For WTMJ Conversations, I'm Libby Collins.